bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into a busy week of the Bet the Board podcast, NFL Week 7 on the docket. And as we get closer to the regular season midpoint, we're starting to figure out who the pretenders and contenders are this NFL season. Fortunately for us, we only bring contenders on the line. And we're joined, as always, by full-time analyst and co-host, one, the only, Payne Insider. What's going on, Mr. Payne?
Week 7, ready to roll, halfway through the season, just about. So that's a positive. Crank out some winners and get this season over with.
Well, hopefully plenty more weeks to go as we look towards the second half of the schedule. Of course, we got to get through this Thursday and Sunday game as well. For those folks listening to the podcast for the first time, I encourage you to sign up on SoundCloud, iTunes, or check us out at toddstake.com. We'll get to our weekly special guest, Dave Mason, in just a matter of minutes. But Payne, as we always do, the traditional custom on the podcast, we take a look back at the Monday Night Football game between the Eagles and Giants, and you can make the case it was one of the worst played games we'd seen on Monday night yet this season.
Yeah, it wasn't very pretty to watch. We were able to catch a ticket, so it definitely was worthwhile. Sam Bradford still looks uncomfortable in the pocket, although he had all day to throw, so that'll be something to continue to monitor moving forward. And even for this Sunday night clash, as we talk about that at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, and the Philadelphia game, very interesting. And when we got on the podcast on Monday, we talked about how the line was starting to trend downwards from 5.5 at the peak, ends up closing at a soft 3.5. Oddly enough, wasn't a whole lot of money from the professionals driving that price down, about a 70-30 public split. And you did have pros coming in, laying the best of the number real close to kickoff. Didn't look great when Eli Manning goes down the field on the opening drive, 7-0. And from that point forward, it was all Philadelphia all the time. But I can't say, you know, as we bring on Dave Mason, that Dave, there was a game over the weekend that clearly had a lot more impact on the financial security of your operations, if memory serves me correct.
Oh, yeah, that Patriots-Colts game. As we discussed last week how big that was going to be, the money kept coming in. That was our biggest bet game of the season easily, and the biggest bet game obviously since last Super Bowl. So that just kind of gives you a picture of how big that game was. Everybody was on the Patriots minus the points. We did take some Colts sharp action. So I believe when we spoke last week, about 90% of the money was on the Patriots. That trickled down to about 77% on the Patriots, because we did see some pretty big bets on the Colts, plus 9 points, plus 9.5. But there's still so much overall turnover that was just such a huge decision. So that last, you know, that back door with a minute and handful of seconds left for the Colts, that helped out the house big time. I mean, we were up on the players a little bit going into that game. You know, nothing huge, but the day was coming down to that game, no doubt about it. If the players won, they would have had a massive day. If we win, we would have had a good day. So
you're big fans of Griff Whalen in that catch.
Oh, I mean, after that fake punt, I'm not going to lie, man. I watched that fake punt. I went out after halftime, and then to watch the second half, have a couple cocktails, and things are going great. And that fake punt, man, I watched two more drives, and I cashed it in, man. I'm not going to lie. I didn't even see that last touchdown. I kind of gave up. I was kind of disgusted after that fake punt, but you know, it's great to see, from our perspective, it was great to see that last-minute touchdown for the back door.
And Griff Whalen goes from a gambling goat to gambling hero, all in a matter of a handful of plays. So pretty impressive how his night changed. Obviously didn't help the Colts win that thing outright, like I imagined would have been the ideal scenario for most of the books. But, Dave, when we traded notes earlier this week, I mean, you mentioned that it's an interesting change in betting behavior when you look at the Patriots-Jets game this particular weekend. A very different type scenario starting to play out as bet splits are concerned regarding this Sunday's matchup compared to last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, as we look now, that's our biggest decision Sunday, turnover-wise, when I'm talking about that. That's our heaviest bet game. There is one game that's seeing more one-sided action, but that's the Rams game, but there's not a whole heck of a lot of turnover on that game yet. But, yeah, the Jets-Patriots game, as of now, it's our biggest exposure, and but the roles are flipped now. Now it's people are betting against the Patriots. Only about 33% of the action is on the Patriots, so the roles are reversed a little bit. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a little strange rooting for the Patriots for once. But yeah, I'm trying to I think some of that has to do. I mean, the bettors are real. They remember what you did for them lately. So I don't know. Part of that is it's probably partly due because they didn't cover last week, and part to do with, you know, the Jets are surprise team, and they're treating bettors really good this season as well.
Now, the Jets-Patriots, a game, of course, that we'll get to in greater detail, Payne, but, I mean, you had some interesting thoughts on that, not to kind of tip your hand too early, about where the true numbers and the math guys actually see this point spread, and probably where it might have been set if they had their way without that Patriots name on jerseys.
Yeah, I think when you break down a lot of the metrics they use, net yards per play, all of that, I've heard numbers tossed out as low as 4. So that kind of leaves room for concern. I don't think 10s are going to stick. I didn't think they would when they first opened there. But if a lot of the numbers guys had their way, the Jets would be a much shorter favorite. To me, this clear bookmaker number, so this is a game that I probably will not be on this week.
And Dave, along with some of the liabilities, you talk about the betting trends and how customer behavior is always fluid during the course of a 17-week NFL regular season. What kind of sharp positions, if any, have you guys seen start to trickle into the shop early in the week?
Well, piggybacking off what Payne just said, we did see a little bit of sharp action on the Jets. Took a little +9. I mean, we just moved it down to +8.5. The Jags just got hit, but that was more of an injury hit when Taylor announced he's out. That was 4.5. Some sharps hit that right away before we could even move it, and it's at 4 -115 right now. Dallas got hit, +4.5. That's +3.5, -125 now. So like I said last week, I mean, it's an interesting trend this year. I mean, there's not as much sharp action. We're not seeing at least coming in as early, but, I mean, it still comes in, especially with our early openers. But, you know, that's not the mega sharp action, if you will. That's the guys we respect, but not the mega sharp action. But, yeah, those are what we're seeing right now.
It's definitely been an interesting trend, and we talk about it all the time when some of the professionals are looking to make their move. A lot of manipulation throughout the course of the week, and Sunday always becoming the day that the professionals will tip their hand with the true positions. We know it wasn't exactly the best week of the season for the players, Dave, so I'm sure a lot of our listeners, unfortunately, if they didn't follow our advice, may be looking for a generous offer at the shop and maybe a potential reload. What kind of things can they expect this weekend at BetOnline?
Well, first of all, I got to correct you a little bit. I mean, they walloped us on Saturday in college. They had their best Saturday college. So you got to go look for that bright spot. And they put it to us on Saturday. So it wasn't all for naught for the players this weekend. But get back to your question. We still have that 50% bonus out there. Use promo code BTB50 for a 50% one-time bonus. All the terms and conditions are found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. As far as the games are concerned, you know, check the site out Sunday for the earliest openers for the following week, the earliest openers for college, and we'll have true live betting on every NFL game this Sunday and Monday, of course.
And, Dave, before we let you go, you mentioned college being a good day for the players. Any particular games that really jumped off the page? I have to imagine the improbable finish in Ann Arbor helped a lot of money line bettors that were sitting on a Michigan State ticket.
Yeah, that was something else. That was, You know, the spread action on that game was pretty much 50-50. That was pretty much split down the middle. But as expected, you took a look at that the money line wagers, and everybody was on Michigan State. So, you know, that's the thing. You always hear bad beats for the players, but, you know, for every bad beat for the player, there's a bad beat for the house, too. So you got to kind of, you know, equal that out. You always hear the bad beats about the backdoor cover and the Colts, but you know, for that there's something like Michigan State where the players kind of lucked out and the book kind of got screwed. So that's a good example of that. But yeah, that was the kick in the shorts right there.
The unfortunate part is you won't get a whole lot of sympathy from a lot of our listeners crying about book bad beats. But hey, Payne and I know all too well what this business is like. And Dave, we thank you for joining us each and every Thursday throughout the fall. We'll look forward to having you on again same time next week to break down week 8, what we're looking at, and how to see how week 7 ended up panning out for the good guys.
Awesome, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Mason, you can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason, B-O-L. And, of course, always some great promotions going on, especially for our Bet the Board loyal listeners. So I encourage you to check out that URL that Dave mentioned previously. And, Payne, Dave mentions the Buffalo-Jacksonville game. We did see some money come in on Jacksonville early this morning with that announcement or speculation regarding the starting quarterback. May as well take a look at it. This game will be on bright and early, 9:30, kickoff 6:30 out here for us on the West. Streaming live on the internet, won't be available on TV, but you look at the Bills, this is clearly a team we've talked about in great detail, still trying to find an identity, and I'm not quite sure they know exactly who they are at this point.
Nope. The defense, again, we mentioned those struggles last podcast. Just a very, very underwhelming effort on that side of the ball. Now, granted, they're not horrible, but they're not what we expected them to be based on previous seasons, based on who their head coach is. So it's been disappointing effort on that aspect. And, again, Tyrod Taylor was downgraded. Granted, he has taken some snaps this week, but it looks like he's going to be out. Sammy Watkins looks like he's going to be out. Carlos Williams didn't clear the concussion protocol once again. So that definitely hinders this Bills offense a bit. Number at 6 was a bit much. It will be interesting to see where this goes. I'm not sure it gets to 3, but at 3 it might intrigue me on the Buffalo side.
Big questions as far as some injury concerns on the other side with Jacksonville. We know T.J. Yeldon didn't play last weekend, and for all intents and purposes, it really looked like the offense bogged down. T.J. clearly much more dynamic running the football and catching the ball out of the backfield. Blake Bortles a little nicked up. What's the expectation there for some of the key cogs on that Jaguars offense?
Yeah, certainly hurts Blake Bortles not having a running game behind him. T.J. Yeldon was what appears to be a very good draft pick. There's just not much in the backfield. Denard Robinson, that's a nice story. Toby Gerhart, I think we know what he is at this point. So if Bortles can't rely on some semblance of a ground game, definitely makes things difficult for him. Julius Thomas was back. Looks like he got acclimated to him a little bit. We know young quarterbacks love that big target over the middle, so it's definitely a help having Julius Thomas in the fold. But without Yeldon, the offense will struggle a bit.
And he's a little nicked up as well, Julius Thomas, with some ribs. Hey, but you talk about T.J. Yeldon. I guess every now and again when you draft 37 first-round running backs out of one, you know, college program in the form of Alabama, one of them has to pan out. So T.J. Yeldon doing some of the things, although maybe too critical of Mark Ingram, who has become a key contributor for the New Orleans offense. And while we're talking about a ground game, Payne, a team that clearly found something running the football out of the bye week, your beloved Miami Dolphins, who are a 4-point favorite for a home date with the Houston Texans, total 44.5 at BetOnline. We did see this number balloon as high as 5.5 before there was some resistance. Texans 3-17 straight up their last 20 when listed as a dog, but we know Miami struggles. Only 1-6 against the spread the last 7 times they've been installed as a favorite of late.
This will be the great indicator of what the Dolphins truly are. Very easy to get up when you've gotten your coach fired and you have 2 weeks to prepare for a rookie quarterback. And 2.5 quarters, that rookie quarterback didn't have his greatest attribute. Offensively, I think you pretty much nailed it. More balanced attack with Dan Campbell at the helm. This Dolphins team, they averaged 4.3 yards per carry under Joe Philbin. Just he refused to run the ball. So you get a committed effort there against the Titans. Think they had about 180 yards on the ground. And the key to that is, and it's going to sound very weird, is Deion Sims. Him coming back from concussion allowed the Dolphins to go into that 2 tight end package, which they love to do. If they could throw that out there 60% of their offensive snaps, they'd love to do that. And we talked about this early in the season, Ryan Tannehill not having chemistry with Jordan Cameron. And when you really break that down, four of Tannehill's seven interceptions have come on Jordan Cameron targets. So Deion Sims was huge getting him back in the fold for this offense.
Yeah, and the Houston Texans on the other side, they found a little bit of offensive swagger in the second half. We talked about Brian Hoyer potentially giving them more firepower in the passing game. DeAndre Hopkins on pace to break all sorts of records. But when we look at Houston, do we feel like they're starting to figure things out, or that was more a byproduct of Jacksonville's ineptitude a week ago, knowing that that game was tight headed into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville's defense has taken a step back. Hoyer definitely wants to keep the reins on the quarterback position. He's an average quarterback. When you play above your average, you know, you're going to have a decent game. When you play below it, he's going to stink. I think we know what he is. The key here is this Dolphins defense. They're facing something that they struggled with in week one, and that's an offensive line that's going to chop block you, that's going to cut block you. It'll be interesting to see if the Dolphins can man up on the defensive line. There's also a key thing. When I was looking at the All-22 film, this Houston offense loves the back shoulder throw, and it's something the Dolphins haven't seen yet. Grimes, he's kind of gutting it out, but he's not 100%. He'll follow Hopkins around the field, so that'll be something interesting to look at. And we talked about this for a few weeks now. Cameron Wake, not able to set the edge any longer against the run. And that'll be an issue. And I kind of went back and I wanted to see if what my eyes told me were true. And last week he was only on the field for 43% of the snaps. I think that's probably the way they're going to go. He's great still in the pass rush, but he just can't stop the run. So that'll be the key here. We know the Dolphins linebackers, they struggle in coverage a little bit. So I'd expect Arian Foster to probably have a decent game catching some balls this week. So those are some concerns I have. And then obviously the market price. This was -1.5 on the look ahead line, taking 5.5. We've seen some professionals do that. I'm not ready to take 4 at this point. This is a game that I'm going to sit back and watch. I want to see what Miami is, and this will be the great test for them.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about making adjustments. We knew that they were going to play like their hair was on fire coming out of the bye week with all sorts of intensity and emotion. It'll put some pressure on Dan Campbell to figure out exactly what kind of game plan he was able to develop in a much shorter period of time and get these players on the same page to try and keep their positive momentum headed in the right direction. And paint a game that Dave brought up, he mentioned some change in betting patterns when you look at the New England Patriots and how public a team they typically are. A little bit surprising to hear that folks coming in on the Jets. We know New England, 19 straight wins at home, of course, not really all that relevant when you consider they're laying 9, and a straight-up win is a little bit different than covering 9. You're talking about the long-standing history between these two teams. Of course, Rex Ryan not in the fold, but how do we begin to handicap this, especially knowing that the math guys think a much smaller number should really be in store here?
Yeah, this is a really, really tough game for me to handicap. I see the math numbers, and that's kind of concerning. It's giving me room for pause here. We talked about 10s not lasting in the marketplace, and I'm not sure they're going to. I think the big question here is we know what Todd Bowles is. We know what Casey Rogers is. He's a great defensive line coach, now defensive coordinator, and the Jets' defense has been great. You can't take that away from them. But they're going to face a real offense this time. They faced the Browns. They faced the Eagles when they were struggling. They faced the Dolphins when they were struggling. They faced the Redskins' offense. This is a completely different animal when you're talking about the Patriots at home. So that'll be the big test for them this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been good. He's gotten help from a ground game. He seems to be on the same page with Brandon Marshall. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is what he is. And so that'll be interesting to see if he can go on the road and give an effort that kind of is better than average here against this Patriots defense. That'll be the key for me.
And we talk about it all the time. Of course, you don't have to come up with a play or an angle. Does New England make at all for an intriguing teaser piece? Or if you're looking at this particular game, probably the marquee early Sunday kickoff, do you want to try and tease the Jets up knowing that the math numbers may suggest there's a lot more value in potentially taking a 9, taking it to 16, instead of the 9 down to 2 and laying less than a field goal with New England?
Yeah, it's nothing I'm going to be interested in doing this week. I'm staying far away from this game. There's just too much discrepancy with guys that I speak to. Definitely, I don't see much teaser value in general going 8.5 or 9 out to 16. That's nothing that I would be wanting to do here. So this is a game that I just have no interest in at all.
Hey, there's plenty of those on the slate, and like we tell people all the time, sometimes the best decisions you can make when handicapping a full Sunday card is knowing when to pass entirely. Falcons-Titans, I don't think it's a game that's going to get a lot of national attention, but definitely fascinating when you look at the backup quarterback component. That'll play a role here. The Titans, not exactly making people a lot of money. 0-11 straight up the last 11 times they've been listed as a home underdog. Zach Mettenberger going to get the nod here. Number ping-ponged all over the place, 3.5 to 4.5, 4. You look at this, the interesting side story. This will be the first time all season the Atlanta Falcons play a game on natural grass.
Yeah, definitely something you have to factor in when you're talking about a dome team. Zach Mettenberger, we've kind of talked about him. I think he gives the offense a little different dynamic with being able to pass the ball better down the field. Marcus Mariota has had a very good season, better than expectation at this point. He has been taking some of the snaps this week at practice. And it was interesting to see how they used him last week. They really kept him in the game. That shocked me. But this is the same exact injury Tyrod Taylor has, and he's been out 2 weeks now. So Mettenberger looks like the guy, even though they're splitting reps at practice currently. For me, that would be the only way I could look. I know the math guys have this number a little bit higher. They're at the 4.5, 5 range. For me, Wisenhunt needs to get things going here. I don't think Atlanta's defense, they've kind of regressed, obviously, at this point. I think Tennessee does enough to keep this game close.
I would have similar sentiments there. I think it's dog or pass in this type of scenario. I have to imagine it's going to get tougher and tougher for us to continue fading the Falcons, a bandwagon that we've been on, which feels like pretty much every single week of the season, aside from their season opener against Philadelphia. Colts and Saints, man, this would have been a hell of a game a handful of years ago. Two teams still trying to figure out their identity this season. New Orleans enters off that impressive performance Thursday night against Atlanta. Indianapolis kind of limped to the finish, albeit getting the money against the Patriots. You're looking at the Colts right now, a 4.5-point favorite at BetOnline, total of 52. How do we begin handicapping these two teams, all too familiar with trying to score points and do so in bunches?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to look at what the Saints are. And I know we've talked about their offense regressing, but if you do dig a little bit deeper, they've really faced a tough slate of defenses. You're talking about the Cardinals, the Panthers, and the Eagles, all top 5 in defensive efficiency. The Bucs are even a top 15 unit. The only two defenses that are below average that they've faced, Dallas and Atlanta, and Drew Brees and company put up 26 and 31 there. And I have Indianapolis right on par there defensively with Dallas and Atlanta. We know how bad the Saints defense is. Much of that was camouflaged last week. Falcons had 3 turnovers, 2 of which inside the 15-yard line. I know you had a nice trend on this game. We've seen it time and time again. The Colts just perform well off a loss. And jokingly, I'm the boring old guy, the under guy, but I expect a lot of points here in this game.
Yeah, the trend you mentioned comes to us courtesy of our friends at Oddshark. The Colts 14-5 against the spread off a loss. We have seen them take a couple of blemishes early this season, but it's a team that seems to respond well to adversity. You have to wonder how Andrew Luck's shoulder will feel after having that prolonged absence, taking some hits last week, but should have the confidence that the Saints aren't going to put all that much pressure on him this particular weekend. I think Indy probably needs the game as bad as anybody. Then again, asking them to go out there and cover over a field goal, a little bit different than just winning the game outright. And for a team coming into this week off a bye with a new quarterback pain against a side that looked anything but competent on Monday night, the Giants and the Cowboys, you're looking at the Giants, a 3.5-point home favorite right now. Total in this game, 45, 45.5. And of course, we've seen this number trend in the Cowboys' direction. We know the Giants can't put pressure on the quarterback, but we get the long-awaited debut of Matt Castle under center in Big D.
I think there's a lot of things to consider here. This game opened as high as 6, and so we have seen professional money come in. Dave Mason kind of alluded to that as well, at certain price points, at 6, at 4.5. This becomes a completely different handicap as this trends to 3. So that's the first thing that you definitely have to consider. And we talk about information on this podcast all the time. But if you're listening to it and we say Dallas is sharp, that is true. But it's a much different ball game at 3. So that's something that you definitely have to consider when you talk about this game. This seems like a spot the Cowboys have done well in. 110 of 11 regular season road games. Looks like Randy Gregory is back. Hardy and McClain got into the fold before the bye. They should be in game shape now. So this Cowboys team getting healthy on the defensive side of the ball. We talked about this in the Monday night game. The Giants, 30th in the league in pass rush efficiency. They have just 8 sacks. I know Castle is a veteran, but it always helps when a backup quarterback's coming in and there isn't expected to be pressure on him. It makes everything much easier. So those are some things that you definitely have to consider when handicapping this game. Again, at 3, much, much different.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the number, and we talk about it all the time. I mean, a position from the professionals is very different based on the number that's available to them. And for folks who are looking at the handicap the same way, it's 6 and 3. I think they're only misleading themselves, and it's a trend that you have to try and eliminate from your arsenal. It's more than okay if you miss a number on a game and you're not able to grab something at the top of the market to pass, rather than to try and force a bet that's really just not there. And of course, paying to close out what should be another busy Sunday, we get the Eagles in prime time for the second straight week. This week they head to Charlotte to take on the undefeated Carolina Panthers. Of course, Carolina fresh off that upset victory of Seattle last Sunday. You're looking at a number here, 3-20 at BetOnline. Carolina installed as a favorite. Total on this one at 46. Can Philadelphia finally get over the hump at 500, or will Carolina keep their train on the tracks and remain unbeaten?
Will be interesting to see this game play out from a side perspective. Open 3.5. Looks like the action is on Carolina, yet we're trending towards a 3 here. Pretty significant move. But for me, it's simple. It's the defenses that I'm looking at in this game. 2 defenses ranked top 5 in efficiency. You get the primetime Sunday night bailout, and the total is priced as such. Opened as high as 47. We're now at 46.5. The Eagles have made strides offensively, but again, Sam Bradford Monday night had all day to throw, still looked uncomfortable, still wasn't very accurate. As a Carolina team, they've been starting slower. They don't really get out and hide on anybody offensively. So for me, I'm looking under in this game. First half makes a lot of sense as well.
Yeah, both these teams, as you mentioned, have started slow a lot of games this season, and it makes a real compelling angle. I know we're not the official podcast of the first half under, but we're definitely trending in that particular direction. We'll see where the books elect to open that number. Seeing some 23 and even a 23.5 out here in Vegas. Of course, the offshore is coming up later and later, so those should be available Saturday afternoon. Just to kind of recap for everyone who, if you're not already following Payne, encourage you to do so on Twitter at Payne Insider. Sign up for this podcast so you don't need to get updates from us all the time. Yeah, at SoundCloud, iTunes, and ToddsTake.com. That way you'll never miss a single episode of some great gambling information, and encourage you to also follow our Thursday guest, Dave Mason. He's available at Dave Mason Bet Online. Payne, wanted to get to one question this week, but I think we're running a little bit long on time. So Moneyline Wagering, you'll have to remind me on Monday. We'll have to bring it up along with a movie review that I neglected on Bridge of Spies, so people can look forward to that. Maybe even a double feature in the cards. But of course, as we do each and every Thursday, we leave people with one lasting image, and that is of the Thursday night game. Seattle on the road at San Francisco. You're looking at the Seahawks right now. A 6.5-point road favorite. Total on this game currently sits at 42.5 at BetOnline. We know the Seahawks have dominated the 49ers. San Francisco's looked a little bit better over the last couple weeks. But where should we even begin to try and handicap and start our weekend off in the right direction?
Well, I think I've probably done a poor job communicating what the Seattle Seahawks are. They're certainly down. But when I talk about them not being very good, it's in correlation to the market. This team is still top 12 in both offensive and defensive efficiency, number one in special teams efficiency, and they're nearly plus half a yard in net yards per play. So this isn't a team that's just incompetent. You're looking at one of the worst teams in San Francisco. You really are. By any metric you look at, -1 in net yards per play, 28th offensive efficiency, 31st defensive efficiency. They're not really able to run the ball anymore. Carlos Hyde, you remove his week one rushing stats, 3.2 yards per carry since, dealing with some nagging injuries. Tough guy, likely gives it a go. Bolden, tough guy, likely gives it a go, dealing with a hamstring. So that's something you definitely need to look at. And I think when you talk about coaching, that's something we definitely need to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the difference in Pete Carroll and Jim Tomsula, and it leads you to the question, what kind of adjustment do you have to make for what we've seen from the 49ers? Yes, they were better against the Giants on Sunday night, had a chance to win that game outright. They look better offensively against the Ravens, but clearly a very different animal when you're talking about a division foe that a lot of people didn't expect to be tied for last with the 49ers at this juncture in the season.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody is going to be anointing Tomsula an X's and O's guru. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out with a short week. He has not been a good X's and O's coach. He had time to prepare a full off season for the first week of the season. He hasn't come up with any great game plan since. Now you're on a short week. Seattle's familiar with this role. Thursday night games, 5-0 against the spread their last five. It lets me know that they're able to prepare a little bit more. They have a quarterback who is willing to dig into the books, really get the game plan down pat. I don't think we can say that about Colin Kaepernick. So I think there's a huge coaching and quarterback edge here on this short week.
Yeah, and we love ourselves a home dog on the Bet the Board Thursday edition podcast this week. I think it's absolutely impossible to try and back San Francisco here. For me, a lot of the metrics you mentioned, I think Seattle's defense can rise to the occasion. So while it's tough to lay 6.5 knowing you could have laid 4 on the open with the Seahawks, I do think the Niners struggle to score. And for me, one of the more compelling angles to try and take might be a team total, especially if you can find a hook on the 17 to try and go under with San Francisco.
Yeah, again, a little different situation here when you talk about Seattle opening 4, and now you're looking at 6.5, potentially trending towards 7. There will be some buyback from guys. There will be other groups probably looking to take 7. So again, tough to get involved at this point. Seattle probably makes a very good teaser leg, but for me, it's Seattle or pass. Bobby Wagner also back this week, which is huge.
Yeah, it definitely changes the dynamic, and I should have mentioned that earlier. Wagner missed last game against Carolina, and you know that he is the key cog that really makes that defense go, despite the Legion of Boom getting all sorts of credit. Wagner's presence definitely needs to be there. And you look at the media narratives all week, people writing Seattle off as dead. Have a feeling the Seahawks will rise to the occasion on national TV and make a statement that they're not just going to roll over and play dead. Thankfully for all of our listeners, Payne, you never roll over and play dead. So for another edition of the Bet the Board podcast, and you guys have already listened, but as we said, sign up, SoundCloud, iTunes. Make sure you get these delivered to you each and every Monday and Thursday throughout the course of the fall. So for Payne Insider, Dave Mason of Bet Online, I'm Todd Furman, and best of luck this weekend with all your wagers, and hopefully we'll see you at the window.